What's up, everyone? Good to see you all. My name is Philip Pattison. I'm the campus pastor of our South San Jose campus. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be here today with you. Just actually, as I begin, let me just say hello to all of our campuses, those of you in North San Jose and South San Jose, those of you in Sunnyvale, those of you who are joining us online today. I'm so glad you're here because I really do believe that God is going to do something significant in each and every one of us. We're continuing our teaching series today that we're calling Tough Stuff. This is a series where through over a period of several weeks, we are looking together at some of life's most difficult, some of life's most challenging questions. And today, the question that I want to wrestle with is, how is it possible for us to overcome our fears and live with courage? How can we overcome our fears and live with courage? And I think this is a really great thing for us to talk about on Father's Day weekend, and here's why. Because men in particular are fascinated with the idea of courage, aren't we? If I were to do a poll, if I were to ask the men of South Bay at all of our campuses, name one of your favorite movies, I'd put money down that 4 out of 5 of you would say something like Braveheart, Gladiator, Saving Private Ryan, right? Something in that genre where there's a guy or there is a group of guys who are deeply committed to some ideal or some principle or some cause, and they've got to show courage to face the danger and the opposition to accomplish the mission. Am I right? Men? Am I right? Why is that? I read books to my kids at night. I just finished reading the Lord of the Rings trilogy to my 8-year-old. And he loved it. But if I'm honest, I probably loved it a little bit more. It became one of my favorite times of the day, in fact, was to go at night and cuddle with my son and read Lord of the Rings. Let me tell you why I think my heart and so many of our hearts get swept up into these epic stories. It's because this is what we were created for. When I read the Lord of the Rings to my boy, I get a glimpse into that for which I was created. And I'm not saying I was created to go take the One Ring and destroy it in the fires of Mount Doom. What I'm saying is that when I read these stories and I watch these movies and I see these men who are facing like armies of darkness or tyranny or injustice, and together with a battle cry, they charge into the battle, they charge into the war. There is just something deep within me that just aches, right? It just longs to just put blue paint on my face and join the front lines. Because I want to be a part of something that matters. I want to be a part of something that's significant. I want to be a part of something that changes the world. I know I'm not the only one. But here's the heartbreaking reality to it. The closest that many of us will ever get to that is fantasy. The closest that many of us will ever get to that is make-believe. By watching it on a screen or playing it in a video game. If we're honest with ourselves, for some of us, the closest that we are right now to living with courage and actually being a part of something significant, fighting for something significant, is playing Call of Duty. C.S. Lewis, an author, he once said that we've become men without chests. But I'm here to tell you some good news. You were created to live a life of courage. You were created to be a part of something cosmically significant, and you're being called back to that today. You're being called back to that today. Here at South Bay, we have a value that we like to call life on mission. We believe at South Bay that the Christian message isn't simply that we are saved from something, but also that we were saved to something. That we're not just saved from our sins, but we're also saved to a life on mission. Here at South Bay, we believe that we are called to be contributors, not simply consumers. But that takes courage, doesn't it? And so we're going to look together today at what the Bible has to say about courage. If you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to look together at the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, no worries. The verses will be here on the screen. But what we're going to look at today is a story about Joshua and the Israelites. We read in the Old Testament that God was taking this nation, the nation of Israel, and he was leading them into a land that he had set apart for them. And up until this point, the nation of Israel had been led by this incredible leader, a guy named Moses. And Moses leads the nation of Israel all the way up to the border of this promised land. But just before they go in, Moses dies. And so the leadership passes on to a guy named Joshua. And Joshua's first task as the leader is to lead his nation into this promised land. But Joshua knows that as soon as he does, they're going to face opposition from the inhabitants of that land. So listen now to how God calls Joshua to move forward with courage. Joshua chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you might have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see it there? Not once, not twice, three different times. God says the same thing. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Friends, God doesn't have a stutter. God doesn't stutter. When he repeats himself, that means something. In ancient literature, repetition meant emphasis. So if you repeated yourself and you said it twice, that meant that you really, really meant it. If you say it three times, that meant that it is of highest importance. It is of infinite significance. That's why when the angels cry out to God, they cry out, holy, 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 because God is infinitely holy. So the fact that God says the same thing three times to Joshua in the very same statement, it means something. I think it means God is saying that it is of the highest significance, it's of the highest importance, Joshua, that you walk forward with courage. Why? Well, because Joshua was about to walk into a land inhabited by seven different nations known throughout the ancient world to be, for their savagery and their brutality and their size. And God knew that there were going to be times when Joshua was going to be gripped with fear. God knew that there would be times in Joshua's life and in his leadership that he was going to feel weak and scared and inadequate. Has anybody ever been there? Y'all are liars. Yes, you've been there. Some of you are there right now. And here's the deal. The good news is that this call to courage is not just for Joshua. It's for you and me as well. And here's even better news, is that God doesn't just simply say, Joshua, man up and start walking. He tells him why he can move forward with courage. He tells him how it's possible that he can move forward with courage. Look at verse 3 again. Verse 3, God tells Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Notice that's past tense. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. That means that before they even set foot in the land already belongs to them. All they have to do is step out in faith and receive what God has already given to them. And that is true for you and me as well. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the author, Paul, he says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's not... Maybe someday God might bless us with spiritual blessings in Christ. It's not even God will bless us one day. It's God has blessed us. That's past tense. And it's not some spiritual blessings. It's every spiritual blessing in Christ. This means that the deepest, most fundamental blessings that every single one of us most deeply desire is ours for the taking. like love and forgiveness and purpose and peace and joy and the power to face the challenges in our life. It's ours for the taking. It's freely offered. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to try to talk God into it. It's ours for the taking. All we have to do is step out in faith and receive what God has already fought and won for us on the cross. The battle is done. It's over. That's why when Jesus was hanging on that cross and his arms are outstretched, he cried out, "It is finished," because it's done. The battle has been won. This means, friends, that from this point forward, we no longer fight our battles for victory. Rather, we get to fight from victory. We fight our battles not for victory, but rather from victory. And if you and I can get this, we can live our lives with an unbelievable sense of courage. If we know that the battle, the capital B battle, has already been won, then you and I can face every little battle that we're facing today through a radically different lens, with a radically different perspective. Let me give you some examples. You no longer have to be afraid of taking risks. If you get this, you no longer have to be afraid of trying new things and taking risks. You know why? Because your identity now is no longer wrapped up in whether or not you succeed. You're free to fail. Jesus gives you the courage to live a radically daring life. You no longer have to be utterly consumed to trying to make something of yourself. Because your identity is no longer wrapped up in what you accomplished, but rather in what Jesus has accomplished for you. Think about the way it changes your perspective on money. We no longer have to frantically try to build that nest egg, hoarding all of our resources and our finances for ourselves. Because our self-worth is no longer determined by how much money we have in the bank. That means that we can now use our money as a tool rather than as a scorecard to determine whether or not we are winning at life. You see? Think about the way it affects your relationships. You know, for the first time, you are now free to serve people rather than use people. You no longer have to use people to try to get ahead, because friends, there is no more ahead than where you are right now. We have everything, every spiritual blessing in Christ. C.S. Lewis said that, the man who has Jesus and everything else has no more than the man who simply has Jesus. And I think he was right. And if we can get that, it changes everything. Changes absolutely everything. Let me just give you one more example from my life. So something that I've struggled with in my life, I've shared this here before. One thing that I've struggled in my life is that I wrestle with really having a desire for the approval of others. Maybe you're like that too. I have this kind of desire for everybody around me to like me and approve of me. And so that especially shows up in the workplace. So even coming out here teaching, I want you all to like me. I when all this is said and done, I want you to approve of what I just did. And I can tell you from experience, that can be crippling. That can be paralyzing. And so, I heard a pastor that I really respect once say that early in his teaching years, he would often need to, he struggled with kind of the same thing. So he would often come out and he would begin his teaching, he'd kind of look around at everybody in the seats and he'd mumble something to himself, he'd mutter something to himself, and then he'd launch into his teaching. And he'd do this week after week after week after week until finally one guy came up to him and said, like, "Pastor, what are you doing? Like, what are you saying to yourself? Like, we can hear you doing that. What are you saying to yourself?" And so he told the man something very similar. He's like, "Well, there's a part of me that really just desires your approval. And so every week I need to come out here and I step on the platform and I have to look at you all in the face and then I have to say to myself, I have to say quietly, you don't define me. You don't define me." And then I launch into my teaching. And so friends, I'll tell you the same thing. Whether or not you like me at the end of all this, you don't define me. I am a son and a servant of the High King, the creator of heaven and earth. I am a beloved child of God. That's my identity. That defines me. Jesus, Jesus spilled his blood for me. That's my self-worth. And I cannot begin to tell you how incredibly freeing it is when I remember that. Some of you as well may need to go to your workplace. You might need to go to your relationships. You might need to go to your bank statements. Maybe you need to go to that scale in your bathroom that you step on and you see the number on the floor. Maybe you need to go to those things at some point this week and you too need to say, you don't define me. I cannot begin to tell you the incredible courage that it brings to remember who you are in Christ, that you have everything in Christ. But not only do we have courage because of what God has done for us in the past, the victory that he has won on the cross, but also because of what he continues to do for us in the present. Verse 9 again says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua needed to remember that as he crossed that border and went into that land, no matter what he faced, no matter what obstacle came his way, no matter what opposition came his way, no matter what dark valley he entered into, that God would never leave him nor forsake him, that his Lord would be with him wherever he went. And some of you need to hear that today too. God is leading you forward to take some steps that may be scary. I think of a family in our Sunnyvale campus that's right now taking steps to become missionaries overseas. I think of our family in South San Jose who just yesterday began the journey to become a family that cares for foster kids. I think of there's a woman here at North San Jose campus who just recently left the corporate world, a lucrative job in the corporate world, to come and invest in the next generation. I think if there's all kinds of families right now that I'm hearing about that have loved ones who are in the hospital. You're going through some difficult, challenging times. And you need to hear, just like Joshua did, be strong, be courageous. Don't be frightened, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I heard a story once about a guy named Hien. Hien was, back in the early 70s, 1970s, was a young, energetic, Vietnamese Christian man. And he worked as a translator for the American military. And after Vietnam fell, he was arrested, he was put in prison he was accused of helping the Americans, and so he's put in prison. And while he was there, the prison guards did everything they possibly could to try to indoctrinate him against the West, and particularly against his Christian faith. And so day after day, all he was allowed to read was communist propaganda. And he wasn't allowed to read in English, and where he was only allowed to read in Vietnamese and French. So every day, this is what he was made to read, and it began to take a toll, began to have an impact. And so he began to question, like, maybe, just maybe, like, I really have been lied to this whole time. Maybe there really is no God. And so one evening, he finally made it. He's like, I'm done. You know what? Tomorrow is a new day. I'm not going to pray. I'm not even going to think about Jesus anymore. I'm done. So he goes to bed. Next morning, he wakes up, and prison guard comes in and says, Hien, you've got latrine duty today. So Hien gets up and kind of trudges off to the bathrooms to clean the prison bathrooms. He gets in there and he starts cleaning it, and he goes to the tin can. He goes to clean out this tin can that's overflowing with used toilet paper. And as he starts cleaning it out, he sees a little piece of paper that looks like it had English writing on it. And so he quickly grabbed it before anybody saw, and he stuffed it in his pocket. He was so excited about the possibility of being able to read English again after so long. And so that night he goes to bed. He was so excited. So as soon as his bunkmates fell asleep, he took that little piece of paper out and he held it up against the light and he read it. You know what it said? It said Romans 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And then he went on to read, for I am convinced that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he then said that he just began to weep like a baby in his bed. And just cried out to God for forgiveness and thanked God for being faithful to him even when he had been faithless. And he went the next morning. He woke up the next morning and went to the prison guard and said, hey, I want latrine duty again. The prison guard said, fine. So he went off to clean the bathrooms again. And sure enough, he goes to clean out that tin can and finds another page of scripture, stuffs it in his pocket. And from that day forward, every day he volunteered to clean the bathrooms. And every day he kept finding more and more and more pages of scripture. He went on later to find out that one of the officers had confiscated an English Bible from somebody. And at one day at a time, each day would rip out one page at a time and use it as toilet paper. And so every day, Hien voluntarily took the filthiest, most degrading job just so that he might have one more page of scripture that he could pour over that night. Why would he do that? Well, because the truth of the scripture gave him courage to face the situation. As he read about the character of God and the promises of God and the plans of God, it injected courage into his life to face what he was enduring. You know, that's actually what the scriptures were intended to be. In the book of Romans, actually, Paul says that. He says that the scriptures were written down for our instruction and our encouragement so that we might have hope. Encouragement just simply means putting courage into something, right? You're just injecting courage into something, and that's what was happening with Hien. And that's what's happening here with Joshua as well. If you notice in verse 8, right smack dab in the middle of all of these statements for Joshua to be strong and to be courageous, Joshua is told to take God's word and to read it and to think about it, to meditate on it, to talk about it, and to obey it. The reality is that some of us are living lives that gripped with fear, gripped with anxiety, gripped with dread. And perhaps the best thing that you can do today is you can go home and you can plan this week to have a regular pattern, a regular discipline of just getting scripture into you each and every day. You could do that on your own. You can do that in a life group. Perhaps the best thing that you can do is to begin reading scripture every day this week for a few minutes. You know, we don't got to clean any prison bathrooms to make it happen either, right? I mean, it's in our hands. It's on every one of our phones. Literally, the path to courage is at your fingertips. So the last question I want to consider today is, what would it look like if we actually took that path? What would it look like if we actually walked down that path to a life of courage? What would it look like if we actually lived our lives with the courage, knowing that God loves us and he's with us no matter where we go? Think about the courage of the Christians in the past, the impact that their lives have had. Did you know that the first known hospital in every nation was started by the Christian movement? You know that women's rights, education reform, the abolition of slavery all trace their roots back to the Christian movement. Did you know that that's the same with adoption and foster care as well? That's why we're so passionate at South Bay about adoption and about foster care. That's why we started Foster the Bay last fall, to start a movement that would provide a loving home for every child in the foster system. That's why we partner with incredible organizations like Compassion International that care for kids around the world. This isn't anything new. It's not something we're coming up with. We're just simply carrying on a legacy that has defined the church for so many centuries. I read a story once about an old Roman practice. When a child was born into a family, the child would be placed at the feet of its father. And if the father stooped down and picked up the baby into his arms, the child would be legitimized and brought into that family. But if the father didn't stoop up and pick down that child, if he didn't pick up that child, the child was taken out of the city to a designated place where the child would be abandoned, left alone to die from wild animals, from starvation, from the elements. But it was the Christian movement that reversed the practice. Early followers of Jesus began to go out to these designated places, and they would take these children, they would rescue them, and they'd bring them into their homes, and they'd raise them as their own beloved sons and daughters. And it was the Christian movement that put pressure on the government to outlaw the practice. Friends, this is our history. This is our legacy. This is what we do. You see, they didn't just simply talk about or sing about the love of God. They embodied it to others. And now it's our turn. What step of courage is God leading you to take? What impact could your life have if you actually believe that God loves you and he's with you no matter where you go? What risks could you take? What impact could your life have? I want to ask you just to consider two questions as we close. Two simple questions. And the first is this: do you have the courage to go when it might seem easier to stay? Do you have the courage to go even when it might seem easier to stay right where you are? And I know that's a general question. That's a vague question. I'm talking about 2,000 people this weekend with 2,000 different journeys and 2,000 different life stories happening right now. So you fill in the blank. Do you have the courage to go even when it seems easier to stay? It could be in a relationship. It could be to begin serving somewhere. It could be to begin giving. It could be to have a difficult conversation with a friend. Do you have the courage to go, even if it seems easier to stay? I'll give you one example from my life. Some of you know that last fall, Twin Oaks Church merged with South Bay Church and became South Bay's third campus down in South San Jose. Well, I was pastoring Twin Oaks Church at the time. And Twin Oaks Church was a great, great church. We had been around for 17 years doing some incredible things. God just done some really neat things through our church. But we'd kind of hit this point where we'd kind of been stuck for a little while. You know, we weren't struggling financially. There wasn't some mass exodus of people. We were doing fine. It was comfortable. It was fine. But we had just been kind of stuck for a few years. We weren't seeing the impact that we knew we needed to see in South San Jose with the message of Jesus. And so we got to a point in our conversations where we realized, you know, we could just keep doing things the way we've been doing them. We could just keep staying in this kind of comfortable, safe place. Or we could consider taking a step of courage, making a radical change in the hopes that possibly, potentially, we could see a greater impact with the message of Jesus in South San Jose. And I'll be really honest with you, it was the hardest decision that I have ever been a part of making. But I was absolutely convinced that God had designed us and set us apart for something more than just safe living. And so in September of last year, we made the decision and we merged with South Bay Church. And in February of this year, we relaunched as the South San Jose campus. And friends, I am so glad that we have, that Twin Oaks Church had the courage to go when it seemed a little bit easier just to stay. Because today, we're seeing twice as many people, double the attendance of what we were a year ago. We're seeing it continue to grow every single week. Every single week, there are people who are attending the campus for the very first time. And most importantly, every single week, there are people who are saying yes to Jesus for the very first time. It's awesome. It's not easy. But do you have the courage to go even when it seems easier to stay? And similarly, do you have the courage to stay even when it might seem easier to go? Do you have the courage to stay even when it would seem easier to go? The fact is, every single one of us will come to some point in our life where things get difficult, things get challenging, and everything in you just tells you it would just be easier if you walked away right now. It'd just be easier to walk. It could be in a marriage. It could be in your job. It could be in a commitment that you've made. I'll tell you, I've been wrestling with this. My wife and I have been wrestling with this very same question in our journey through foster care. We're fostering a couple of kids right now, and I'm not going to go into the details, but I'll just tell you that last weekend was one of the most difficult weekends of my life. It was a weekend from hell. And we came out of that weekend just emotionally exhausted, physically exhausted, even relationally, spiritually exhausted. And on Monday, my wife and I were talking. We both said, you know, gosh, it would just be so much easier to walk away right now. Just one single phone call is all it would take. One phone call, and we get our life back. Or we get our simple, safe little life back with one phone call. But everything within us told us no. God is not leading us to walk. He's leading us to stay and be faithful to the kids, be faithful to the commitment that we've made to these children. And I can tell you that the one singular truth that enables us to do that is knowing that we are not alone, knowing that we are not having to do this in our strength, but knowing that God is with us wherever we go. There's no need to be frightened. There's no need to be dismayed, for He is with us wherever we go. Do you have the courage to stay and be faithful even when it seems easier to go? And I'll just close with this. Every night, I've got five kids in my home right now. So every night before we go to bed, before we put them to bed, we do something called true things. True things. And so I take each of the kids one at a time, and I want to remind them, just like God did with Joshua, who they are in Christ, who they are in God, the promises that they can cling to. And so I take my kids one at a time, and I get down on their on my knees, and I kind of get at their level, and I hold their hands, and I look them in the eye, and then I say, "These are true things about you." And then I make statements, and then I have them repeat after me. Right? And so I'll say unique things about their character for each one of them. So if it's like my son, I'll say, "I'm creative." And then he says, "I'm creative." And I say, "I'm funny." He says, "I'm funny." For my daughter, my little girl loves ballet. So I would say, "I'm a good dancer." And she says, "I'm a good dancer." My other little girl, I say, "I'm a good friend." And she says, "I'm a good friend." But there are some things that I say with every one of them. Some things that are can be true about every single one of them. I take each one of them and I say, "I'm brave." And I say, "I'm brave." I say, "I'm strong." And I say, "I'm strong." And I say, "I care about people." And they say, "I care about people." And then I always end with the same statement. I always end with one single statement, and it's, "Because God loves me." I say, "Because God loves me." You see, and I always end with that. I end with that on purpose, because the reason all of these other things can be true is because God loves them. They can be brave because God loves them. They can be strong because God loves them. They can be courageous because God loves them. They can care about others because God loves them. And friends, the same thing is true about you. And we need to hear it. We need to be reminded of it. So in fact, I want to end with something a little different today. Everybody at all of our campuses, would you mind just standing up right where you are? I'd like to do true things. And I know it's Father's Day. Guys hate stuff like this. I don't even care. We're going to do it. But listen, I want to remind you of some truth that I believe, if you get this, can absolutely change the way that you live, can inject you with courage, and can impact your life and the life of those around you. So I want to remind you of some truth about you. I'm going to say some things that are true about you. And I'm saying these based on the authority of God's word. And if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have said yes to Jesus, these are true about you. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to repeat after me, if you would. Repeat after me. "I'm not alone." All right, hold up. South San Jose, Sunnyvale, North San Jose, all of you, I want to make sure if my kids are kind of just rolling their eyes, they're kind of looking around. I always, right here. These things are true about you. These things are true. Say it like you mean it. "I'm not alone. I'm forgiven. I have hope for my future. I can have peace. I can give generously. I can love without fear. I can be brave because God loves me." Say that again, "Because God loves me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for that truth. God, that you love us. You didn't just simply tell us you loved us. You proved it. You demonstrated that while we were still sinners, you died for us. Father, I pray for every person across all of our campuses right now that they would know that with all of their heart. They wouldn't just know it intellectually or through a concept. God, they would know it deep in their heart that you love them. And you've died for them. You've made a way for them to have a relationship with you and to be who you've created them to be, that they can be forgiven from all of their mistakes. God, I know that there are people across our campuses who are here just checking things out, just exploring all of this. I pray that they would know that these things can be true about them if they would just say yes to you. Father, pray for every one of us, whether it's our first time at South Bay or if we've been following Jesus for years now, that we would walk forward today with confidence, with courage, knowing you love us and that you will never leave us, nor will you forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks, Pastor Philip. Appreciate it, man. Y'all can go ahead and have